I love Jesus, don't you? Do you love him? Some of you don't love very happy. I tell you what, I love him. He's my best friend. Never lets me down. Even through the hardest days, even through the most difficult storms, he's always with me. So, today we're talking about Stronger, Better Together, number 31. You've got a lot to catch up, Will. Stronger, Better Together. We've looked at, in this season, who is Jesus? Who is this man? Who is this man that makes these amazing claims about himself? Who is this man that goes into situations that seem impossible? And he steps into an impossible situation and things happen. Blind eyes see. People are raised from the dead. Who is this man that talks about forgiveness of sins? How can he do that if he's not God? Jesus makes these radical claims. He says, either believe who I am or don't. You have a choice. And on this journey, we've seen a number of miracles that Jesus has performed. And these miracles are so that people will believe. The people that are watching, the onlookers, but also the disciples. And a lot of this journey is about the disciples. And so we're going to interject today into this story of one particular disciple and what happens in his life. And the choices that he makes. This story is really about not the onlooking crowd, not about everybody else that's watching. It's about someone that professes to be a follower of Jesus. And we're going to look at this man who you will know in a minute when I announce it, betrayed his friend. He sold him for 30 pieces of silver, and his name is Judas. See, Jesus, when he chose his disciples, people were a bit perplexed. Jesus chose 11 men from Galilee who weren't simple men. That's not got it wrong. Some of these were businessmen. They were clever men. They weren't simple. They weren't stupid. But they weren't the top theologians. 11 men from Galilee. Only one from outside of Galilee. The one from outside of Galilee was Judas. Judas was from Judea. And if you were to look at them, you'd think, well, actually, the only one I would choose would probably be Judas. Now, Judas, his father was called Simon Iscariot. Simon Iscariot was a freedom fighter. He was a hero in Jerusalem. Everybody knew his father. Everybody knew that he would fight for the Jewish people. He was inspired by 142 BC, which was the Maccabean Revolt. The Maccabean Revolt, 6,000 Jewish men who had hardly any weapons took on 50,000 hardened Roman soldiers, and they won against all odds. And the man that led it was called Judas. So Judas Iscariot was named after Judas in the Maccabean Revolt by his father. And Judas grew up in an environment where they were waiting and longing for the Messiah to come. They wanted another revolt like the Maccabean Revolt, where someone would come and lead them from the oppression of these Roman people. And this was the man that Jesus chose to be one of his disciples. Did Jesus make a mistake? Did Jesus get it wrong with this man? Bearing in mind that every person that he chose, he went in a quiet place and spoke to the Father. And the Father told him who he should have. He did choose them, but the Father chose them. So when you look upon these 12 disciples, you think, why on earth did Jesus choose them? Judas had the same association, the same training. He had the same opportunities to do ministry. He was there when they fed the 5,000. He was there when Jesus sent out all the disciples. He was one that prayed for the sick and they got healed. He was one that prayed and demons came out of people. He was one of the 12. He'd experienced everything else the other disciples experienced, yet there was something different inside. On the outside, it was great. On the inside, it's a different story. On the outside, he was respectable. Everybody loved him. Everybody thought he was wonderful. But on the inside, the story is a different matter. There's something, a different path that Judas took. In John chapter 13, 29, it tells us that he was the treasurer. He looked after the money. He was trustworthy. He was reliable. He was the kind of guy you would want on your team. Or was he? Let's look more about this man in a minute. John chapter 6, we find that Jesus fed the 5,000 plus the men and women. Remember that story? We read that story. Looked at that amazing miracle where Jesus prays and the food keeps multiplying. And Judas is part of that. He says, yeah, Judas, go and feed those people over there. And he's praying, oh my goodness, oh my goodness. And then in that story, what happens is the people recognize that Jesus is so powerful, so amazing. He's the promised Messiah. They want to make him king. And Jesus says, and he knows what's going to happen, and he sends them away. He sends the disciples away because it's not his time to be king. But for Judas, if Judas can perform these miracles, if Judas can feed all these people, he can be the Messiah. And if he can be the Messiah, he can be the one I'm waiting for. He can be the king. And Judas has blown it. He's missed the opportunity. What are you doing, Jesus? Surely you should be allowing them to become king, to free us. And he tries to put Jesus in a box that sometimes people try to put Jesus into a box. We've talked about this. We want Jesus, we want Jesus to be the Jesus we want him to be. Does that make sense? And Jesus comes and he teaches that I'm not the Jesus you want me to be, but this is the Jesus who I am. This is the Jesus that will save you from your sins. This is the Jesus that will forgive you and give you a hope and a future. But I'm not the Jesus you want me to be. I'm the Jesus that you need, not what you want. And Judas has compartmentalized. He's put Jesus into a box of how he thinks Jesus should be. And he should be releasing us from these Romans. He should be the king. What on earth is he doing? He's missed the opportunity. Why is Jesus not doing those things I think he should be doing? Maybe he wanted a second Maccabean revolt. He was ready to fight. He had his sword. I'll fight. I'll take on these Romans if you'll do this, Jesus. But Jesus had other plans. I want to tell you, sometimes we want Jesus to be somebody that he's not. Sometimes people want me to be somebody I'm not. They expect me to be something different and I'm not. But for Jesus, there are things that people want him to be, and he's not that person. He's come to save people from their sins. He will heal. He will restore. But the ultimate reason he came and did the miracles was that people will believe in him and will be saved from their sins and spend eternity with him. And if we try and make Jesus anything else that's outside of what the Bible tells us and that outside what Jesus tells us, that's not the Jesus we serve. And Jesus has spent many, many years with his disciples and people explaining exactly who he is, exactly what he has come for. And sometimes when Jesus was teaching, his teaching was hard. People didn't like what Jesus said. Now, I'm not talking about the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They hated him. You'd expect them not to like what he said, whether it was true or not. But there were people that professed to follow Jesus. They travelled with him, outside of the disciples. They journeyed with Jesus. And then one day Jesus brings his teaching. And you know what? I don't like this. I don't like what Jesus is saying. What Jesus said offended them. And he said from that point on, some people chose not to follow him anymore. Because he wasn't the Jesus that they wanted him to be. I want us to say, if we're going to be stronger, better together, we need to understand that some of the things that Jesus teaches us, some of the things he expects of us are hard. Isn't that true? Isn't that true? Yeah. It's hard. It's difficult. It's not easy to do the things that Jesus asks us to do. Jesus says, turn the other cheek. I want to punch them back. honestly, I want the fivefold ministry in a greater measure. But it's not the way Jesus did it. Jesus says, love your enemies. Forgive those that hurt you. Jesus teaches us a harder way sometimes, but a better way. He also challenges our lifestyle of how we do things and why we do them. He challenges our thoughts, our motives, our wrong beliefs, our selfish desires. Jesus will challenge us because he loves us. But you know what? Sometimes it offends people. And we've had people that have left this church because it's offended them, because they don't like what Jesus says. They don't want to do what he says. They don't want to live as a disciple as Jesus asked them to live. They don't want to deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow him. They don't want to do that. And it offends them. And they walk away. And I want to say that the Lord Jesus Christ will challenge us as a church, because he has got great plans for us. Do you believe that? And he will challenge us. And if something isn't right, he will say, this isn't right. And if something needs to change, he will show us what needs to change. And we must not be offended by those things. You see, Jesus brings light. We've talked about that. And he brings truth. And when light touches darkness, light exposes darkness, things that are wrong. It has to. And as the light of Jesus Christ moves in this place, he will expose darkness. He will expose things that are wrong. He will expose our selfish attitudes. He will expose things where we have a wrong belief system. Sometimes people will turn away. They reject the truth. They'd rather live a lie and live in darkness than live in truth. I remember once I was talking to somebody about something that was going on in their life, and we said, why do you keep doing that? I said, because I'm used to it. I've almost become comfortable in living that way. And it's almost like a security for me. But I said, yeah, but it's wrong. I know it's wrong, but I want to stay where I am. They're not here today. They're not walking on this earth today, because they chose to live in darkness and not light. On one occasion, Jesus talks to the 12 and he says, guys, this is a paraphrase to Robin Baker. You won't find him saying guys. People have left me today. People have walked away. People that said that they believed in me and said, yeah, we'll follow you to the ends of the earth, Jesus. Where are they? Can you see them? They've gone. Jesus looks at them, at each of them, and he says to them, do you want to leave me as well? Do you want to go? Do you want to stay with me? Do you want to go? Let's look at John chapter 6, 67. Are we able to put that up, Keaton? John 6, 67. It's the one before that. Have you got the one before that? You do not want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. Do you want to go away? Who was one of the 12 that heard Jesus say that? Can you give me a clue? Begin with J. Judas. Judas was there. He remained silent. He never said a word. Disciples are going, did Jesus just really say that to us? Judas remained silent. See, Judas had a choice. He could have said, Jesus, do you think we could have a quiet word? I'm struggling with something at the moment. I could really do with you just talking this through with me. You see, I'm not the person that everybody thinks I am. I'm not the honest person, the reliable person, the trustworthy person that everybody thinks I am. This reputation I have, you know, Jesus, it's not right. He could have gone to Jesus. He could have said, Lord, help me. Help me in this situation. He chose to remain silent. Did Jesus not know? Oh, yes. Jesus knows exactly what's going on at this time because of the scripture that should have come up. Well, we'll come up in a minute. Jesus answered them, did I not choose you, the 12, and one of you is a what? Whoa. One of you is a devil. Flipping heck. Why don't you say what you mean, Jesus? Jesus knows exactly what's going on in this man's heart. Nothing is hidden from him. I want to tell us and remind us today, nothing is hidden from us. The psalmist says, search me and try me and see if there's any wicked way within me. Jesus knows exactly what's happening in every person's life in this room, in my life, in your life. He knew what was happening in the life of every one of those disciples and in the life of Judas. And you know what he does? He challenges them and it offends. In John chapter 12, we have this account where Jesus is invited to Simon's house and into the courtyard. And Jesus is reclining. And Mary comes and she brings an alabaster jar and she breaks it to anoint Jesus. 300 denarii it is. That's a year's wages that someone takes over Jesus and anoints him. Out of love, out of thanksgiving. You'd think the disciples would be happy, wouldn't you? What did Judas say? He says, we could have spent that money on the poor. John, what do you think? Do you think we should spend that money? It shouldn't have gone on Jesus. Andrew, what do you think? Peter, what do you think? And he goes around and he tells the people, do you know what? What a waste of money. This, he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief of the money box. He used to take what was put in it. He didn't care about the poor. He didn't care about the needs of other people. He only cared about himself. He wanted to get as much out of this and as much out of serving Jesus as he could. He had his own agenda. This secret thief couldn't bear the thought of nearly 1 year's salary being given out to Jesus. I want to talk about secret sin. Secret sin in our lives will consume us. Secret sin has a way of twisting our values. This man was an embezzler, and very rarely would an embezzler steal very much at first. Just a little here, a little there. No one knows. No one sees. I just have that. Put it in my pocket. One for Jesus, two for me. But then the secret sin gets worse and he continues to take more and to take more until it consumes him and it changes his whole value system. He becomes a different person inside. You've got to have more. He's living a double life. And I want to say double lives always begin when people try to conceal sin. As soon as you start to conceal sin, you start to live a double life. No one's going to care. It doesn't really matter this time, does it? It doesn't matter if I just take the tree, one apple off that tree or fruit from the tree. Just taste it. No one's going to see. God isn't down until 12 o'clock to walk in the day. Starts with a small thing and it consumes us. Sin hates the light of truth. It always demands secrecy of the person who is sinning. Have you ever wondered why sin's done in secret? And it always demands more of the person that they're willing to give up initially. Sin always demands more and takes more. And so we find this man on a downward spiral. Luke chapter 22, verse 2 to 6. Now the feast of the unleavened bread drew near, which is called Passover, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then Satan entered Jesus. Oh, Judas. Then Satan entered Judas, who was numbered amongst the 12. Whoa. How can Satan enter a believer? Can Satan enter a believer? Theological question for you to answer. I want to tell you, if you open a doorway to the enemy, he will come in like a flood. If you open a doorway in your life, he will come in like a flood. So he went his way and conferred with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him. And they were glad and agreed to give him money. What was his problem? Money. Most problem for men, sex, pride, money. Most problems for men. Not always. Money was a problem. They offered him money. Oh yeah, I'll have that. And he promised and sought the opportunity to betray him in the absence of the multitude. Of the 12, who did Satan choose? The one who concealed sin. Now, Satan doesn't know everything. Let me just get this right. Satan doesn't know everything that's happening in every person's life because he's not God. But he's got a good clue of how to try and get into our lives, and he'll tempt us with different things. So Satan comes to the one who's actually living a double life, a different life. A.T. Robinson wrote, Judas evidently opened the door of his heart and let Satan in. Then Satan took charge and became a devil, just as Jesus said. We need to understand this as Christians. If we cultivate, nurture secret sin, we will grow a double life. We'll have a double life, and we will let Satan into our lives. Things spiraled out of control. Satan controlled him. Disaster happens. Wow. Could that happen to somebody here? I'm telling you, unashamedly, yeah, it can. If you open your life up to things that are not of God, you let the enemy in, secret sin to fester and grow, the consequences can be disastrous for you, for this church, for your family, for the people you love. Do you believe it? Do you understand why I'm saying to you today that if we're going to be stronger together, we've got to learn from people like Judas. We need to grasp and understand what we live in today. It's so important. If it can happen to Judas, it can happen to anybody today. I also want to tell you that Satan promises all kinds of things. It'll be okay. It'll be fun. Oh, it's great fun, isn't it, doing that? You don't want to be a boring Christian, do you? You don't want to do what the Word of God says, sure. Did God say that? No, I'm sure he didn't. And then what he does, he causes us to sin. He leads us into sin. Sin consumes us. He controls our life. And then do you know what he does at the end? He exposes us. Yeah, let's tell everybody. And then people live under shame, condemnation, guilt. I'm thinking of a guy now that used to come to this church many years ago. Many of you will not know him. And he's not somebody recent, so I don't think you might think who I'm talking about. Because most of you won't. Some of you might. Lived a double life. Oh, I tell you what, he could preach a storm. He could lead something. But he was leading a double life. None of us knew. Jesus knew. He left the church. I met him a few years later, broken man, broken. I said, why don't you come back? He said, I can't come back because I feel guilt and shame. And if people knew what I was like, they would never want to meet with me again. He's nowhere now. Had so much potential. But he lived a double life. Like Judas. Let's read the story of the Last Supper. I've got to be quick. I do not speak concerning all of you. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled. He who eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, that you may believe that I am he. Most assuredly I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives the one who sent me. When Jesus said these things, he was troubled in his spirit and testified and said, most assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me. Then the disciples looked at each other, perplexed about whom he spoke. Disciples are talking to him. Who's he on about? Who can it be? It can't be one of us. They'd done this feast before a number of times and they were expecting certain things to happen, but there were only two people that knew what was going to happen. There were only two. Jesus and Judas were the only two people that knew exactly what was going to happen. Jesus and his betrayer saw Jesus' grief. It says Jesus was troubled in his spirit. Jesus was troubled in his spirit. Judas saw that he was in pain. Jesus knew the grief. Judas knew the grief that Jesus was feeling. Yet he still, above his friendship with Jesus, above all that Jesus had done to him, was willing to betray his friend. Wow, how far had he fallen? John chapter 13, 23 to 26. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of the disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore motioned to him to ask, who was it of whom he spoke? Then leaning back on Jesus' breast, he said to him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, it is he whom I give a piece of bread when I've dipped it. And having dipped the bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Now after the piece of bread, Satan entered him. Then Jesus said to him, what you do, do quickly. Judas gets up and he leaves the room and he goes to do what he's going to do. What does Jesus do? He stays with the 11 and he teaches them what it means to be a disciple. He teaches them, what do you need to do? What you need to do to follow me. He tells them what's going to happen. And he says, if you really are my disciple, you will do what I say. Judas goes. He knows where Jesus is going to be later on. He knew Jesus prayed in the garden. And he brings the soldiers by night so that the people don't know what's happening. You see how they work in darkness? See how the enemy works in darkness, in secret. He secretly brings those soldiers to Jesus. And I'm amazed at Jesus' response. You'll find it in Matthew. We're going to read it in a minute. Don't put it up yet, Keaton. Jesus looks into his eyes when he comes. They come with torches and swords and soldiers to take him. What does Jesus reply? Let's put it up, Keaton. Friend. Well, friend. Jesus calls him friend. Do what you've come to do. I find it amazing that Jesus loved him still. Why did Jesus grieve? Because he loved the man, Andrew. He loved the man. He loved him. And he knew what was going to happen to him. He knew that this man would be broken over the bad decisions that he'd make. And he knew that this man would go and take his life. Wow. But Jesus calls him friend. Despite having a close association with Jesus, he learnt nothing. Judas died because he had a secret love affair with sin. You can't have a secret love affair with sin. Do you know what I'm saying? Are you listening to what I'm saying? You can't have a secret love affair with sin. It's either Jesus or it's not. Anything that's done in secret will be exposed one day, but the enemy will expose it. If we've got secret love affairs with sin in this room, we need to make a choice. Do we want Jesus or do we not? we're going to be stronger, better together, we need to learn from what happened to Judas. The Bible clearly warns us that secret sin destroys. If we think we're immune, we're deceived. If I think because I'm the pastor, I'm immune, that I can do what I want, I am deceived. Let's quickly move forward. Just because we go to church, just because we rub shoulders with other Christians, it does not keep us godly. We need to submit to this word. We need to submit to this word. We need to submit to this word. What do we need to do? And stay in a close relationship with Jesus. That's what will keep us. The Bible tells us this in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Confession of our sins. Failure to confess and receive forgiveness means that there is serious consequences. 1 Peter 5 verse 8. If we're going to be stronger together, let's read this together. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around you like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Satan, although not himself, because the likelihood of you ever meeting Satan is pretty low, to be honest, because he's not everywhere present. He can only be in one place at once, by the way. It could be in hell, or it could be in a part of the world, but he can't be everywhere. But he has minions that are looking to destroy. He's looking to destroy people. If we're going to be stronger, better together, we must listen and act to the truth that Jesus taught. John 8, 31, 32, we are finishing with this. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples." How do we know that someone is a disciple of Jesus Christ? They hold on to his teaching. They do what he says. There's no discussion. If Jesus says, "Don't do that," we go, "Well, would it be all right, Jesus?" He doesn't need to say no. It's already told us. We have the Spirit in us that tells us what we do and what we don't do, what we should do and what we shouldn't do. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Only the truth will set you free. Only the truth will set me free. If we're going to be stronger, better together, we need to confess our sins. We need to walk closely with the Lord. Some of the things he says will challenge us. Some of the things he says might offend us. Some of the things he says to us we might not like. But we need to do what he asks. I cannot overemphasize, in this season that we live, Jesus is looking to say, are you going to be one of my disciples, or are you going to leave me? The choice is yours. Would you stand with me for a minute? Children are going to come in a minute. My intention is not to offend anybody. My intention now is to say what is on the Lord's heart for us. And I want us to listen to what he's saying. If I do not preach this message, I am held accountable to the Lord, and he will hold me for not saying what is on his heart. Lord, we ask that we will be not like Judas, that there will be nothing in our hearts or secret sins or love affairs that we're having with sin. But Lord, we are, through your Spirit, trying to live godly, righteous lives, doing the things you've asked us to do, even though it's not hard, not easy, it's hard, it's tough. We ask, Lord Jesus, now that you will come. And Lord, if we need help with something, we ask, Lord, that you will help us. We ask, Lord, you will come alongside us, that we won't feel that we can't talk to you about those things, but Lord, we can deal with them with you, so that it doesn't have to be dealt with in another way. We ask, Lord, that our hearts will be right before you, that as you look upon us, you will be so pleased, and that, Lord, you will show your power. We've asked for you to show your power, and you responded and said, do you really want it? Then this is what I need you to do. Lord, we submit ourselves once again to you, and we submit ourselves to your will, that your will be done in heaven and on earth, that your will be done in our lives. So, Lord, help us today to learn from others and to be the people that you've called us to be. Well, Lord, we confess our sins to you. We ask you, Lord, because you're gracious and merciful, that you will forgive us our sins, because you've promised to do that. You are faithful and just to forgive us all our sins and to cleanse us. And Lord, we submit ourselves to you today. In Jesus' name, amen.